2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. The title of the message is Waiting for Christ. I'm waiting for him tonight, aren't you? People say, what's your future hold? What are you looking forward to? What are you waiting for? Well, I'm waiting for Christ to come back. Waiting for Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Paul says that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, amen? The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now, we're supposed to be waiting for Christ. Some people think maybe you can hasten the return of Christ. I don't believe you can. That time is set, known to the Father. But we cannot prolong it either. If it's time for him to come, when that time comes, he's going to come. I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to happen quickly. It's going to happen quicker than a weaver's shuttle can fly. And that's pretty fast. And God says that we'll be looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for Christ to come at any moment. We don't need a bunch of signs or anything like that. We just need to be looking for him. And I'm glad that we are. Now, some deny that he's going to come again. I feel sorry for those people who do not believe in the return, the visible, literal return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I could go into a lot of theories about what people think is the return of Christ, but I believe Christ is going to come in two phases. First, he's going to come for his saints in the air, and then he's going to return after 7 years with his saints and set up his kingdom on earth. Most anybody who's been in a Bible-believing fundamental church for very long should know those facts and should have that down and know. But we believe in the literal, visible return of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Some want him to hold back. If you got great plans about the first baby and getting married and getting a promotion and maybe waiting on that inheritance, you may not want him to come back, but you should, because the best in this world is nowhere close to what it's going to be, the wonderful joy of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people want to deny it, some want to delay it, but most of us, thank God, desire for the return of Jesus Christ. There's absolutely nothing in my life that would please me any more than for Christ to come any moment. Amen. I love the relationship. I love pastoring this church. I love my family. I love my wife. I love the plans I've got in the future. All of those things, but nothing would upset me if Christ came for me tonight. I'd be thrilled like the rest of you. And then we'd leave the church here. Brother Rigsby could pastor it. And Brother Gillett could continue to be an associate pastor or something. No, we'll all be happy, amen. We have a little fun being saved, but I'm going to tell you what a great thing when the Lord comes back again. But until then, he says, yes, wait for him, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Meanwhile, what are we supposed to do? Well, go back to verse 1. We are, number one, to wait and pray. Wait and pray. I believe we ought to be a praying people. We had a prayer meeting before the service tonight. A group of men gathered together. Some ladies gathered together on Sunday night. We ought to pray, amen? If we're going to get the job done until he comes, we ought to pray. And God expects us to be prayer warriors, busy about working at the business of praying. I could preach a whole message just on that subject, but I ran across just a list of some things that I want to share with you very quickly when we are to pray. You say, well, I don't know when to pray. Well, let me give you some ideas. You may want to jot them down. Number one, pray early in the morning. Amen. That's a good time to pray early in the morning, whatever your morning is. Begin your day with God. The psalmist said, early will I seek thee. Don't wait till your burdens pile up and about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon decide to get around to praying. Pray early. Pray early in the morning. And then pray anytime when you feel the peace of God is leaving your heart. Do you ever have those times you feel that? You sense that? It's just something you just know that the peace of God is just sort of leaving your heart for some reason. Friend, that's not the time not to pray. That's the time to get on our knees and pray. And ask God to return that peace in our lives. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, Colossians 3:15. And then pray when you feel temptation. Oh, I know all of you have arrived and you're at perfection and you never get tempted anymore, right? If that be true, would the liar please raise his or her hand so we can identify you? We all have temptation. We know that. And we laugh a little bit about it, but it's a very serious thing when we're tempted. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Pray every time that you sense that Satan is after you and you sense temptation. And temptation can be in many forms. I don't have time to go into all that tonight, but you know what tempts sin that does so easily beset you. And when you see that coming on, feel that coming on, pray. Every time you need wisdom or courage, ask God for it. James 1:5 tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth none. Amen. When we go out on visitation, a lot of times, of course, all the time, we pray in here. And we ask God to give us courage and give us wisdom. It isn't an easy thing to go out and ring doorbells and knock on doors and tell people about Christ. That might be true of some very outgoing persons, but I'll tell you, every Thursday night and every Saturday morning, I have to get my body in gear, and the old man doesn't want to go out there. And the old man doesn't like to be laughed at and put down and cussed and doors slammed in my face. And any of you who go out and do that, you know, you don't particularly like that. So we get on our knees and we pray and we say, God, give us courage and give us wisdom as we go out. And that applies in any area of service. Pray when you witness. Pray when you're sharing the gospel. Ask God to put his power on the presentation of the gospel. Dads, as you drive home from work, why not use that as a time to pray? Especially if you're driving from Dallas, you need to pray. You probably pray automatically if you're driving home from Dallas. Fort Worth is not quite as bad as the traffic over there. But in all sincerity, dads, why not use that time going home as a prayer time? I wouldn't advise that you close your eyes, but you don't have to have your eyes closed in order to pray. And maybe when you walk in the house, you won't be an old grouch. The woman said, did you wake up grouchy this morning? The other woman said, no, I let him sleep. Amen. And some dads come in grouchy and in a bad mood because they hadn't turned it over to the Lord before they get home. And it's a good thing to do that on your way home. You're going home to be a spiritual leader in that household. And the first 10 minutes you walk through the door determines a whole lot about whether or not you're going to be a good spiritual leader. Pray whenever you eat. I like to pray before I eat. I don't think you'll lose your salvation and go to hell because you don't do it, but I just think it's a good thing to do to acknowledge we have the true and living God. These other religions do all kinds of crazy things. They kneel down in public and they'll bow their heads and they'll go down and up and down and up and they do all kinds of things. And we Christians are too ashamed to pray in public or sometimes even in home. Dad, you ought to lead the way in that, amen? Pray before you eat. Thank God for your food. We had a nice steak for lunch today. I want to make you hungry. Had a nice steak for lunch today. And we always go, we don't always go there, but sometimes we go there, and we'll split one for two reasons. One, we don't need to eat that much, and number two, it's a whole lot cheaper. Well, would you believe that today there was another preacher sitting there at the table, another independent fundamental Baptist preacher sitting there, and we were talking, and I said, well, this is my 11th anniversary, and he said, well, congratulations. He said, I want to buy your meal. I said, amen. I thought he was pulling my leg, but he wasn't. He actually paid for the whole meal. And the waitress came over, and I said, my wife said, did he take care of the tip? She said, he sure did, but we went ahead and tipped her more on top of that because God had been so good to us, and we wanted to be a blessing to her. But I grant you, after he told me that, and I sat down, and we prayed when the salad came, I said, Lord, thank you for this meal. Thank you for that preacher that bought this meal. He paid for the meal. Amen. Thank God for the meal. God is so good to us. You wouldn't have another meal if it wasn't for the grace of God. And I know God gives meals to the wicked, but we ought to acknowledge that God gives meals to us. Pray before you eat. Pray every time that the Holy Spirit seems to be prompting you to pray. Sometimes the Spirit of God will deal with you and bring somebody to your mind. Don't slough it off. Go find you a quiet place and start praying for that person. Many, many times I've done that over the years, only to get a call later on to find out that somebody that God had laid on my heart that I went and prayed for was going through deep, deep water in deep trouble. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and spend some time in prayer. I've got to hurry. Pray each time the Holy Spirit prompts you. When you promise to pray for somebody else, try to keep that promise. Amen. You know, we say a lot of times, I'm praying for you, and we don't mean it. We mean it at the time. We mean to be good and kind, and we say that to encourage them, but it would be a good idea to take the prayer list home. It'd be a good idea to jot down that request on a little 3x5 card or piece of paper or something you have with you and take that home and pray for that person. I used to depend on my memory for that a lot, but I write it down now. Often, don't always do it, don't always get it right, I try, but we ought to pray for people like that. When we tell them we're going to pray for them, let's pray for them. I have a long list of people that I can actually walk up to and say when I see them, I pray for you practically every day of my life. I pray for Dr. Barber, for instance, every day of my life. And he tells me that he prays for me every day of my life. In his life, he prays for me. That's what I'm talking about. We ought to pray for one another. We ought to have a prayer list. We ought to pray and hold each other up in prayer. Pray for your missionaries. Pray when you feel grateful. Pray when you want to do the most you can for someone else. Ask God for the ability to do that. But we need to wait and we need to pray. And then hurriedly, we need to wait and be doing something. Wait and do something. Verses 4 and 5, look at it. We have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Paul says, be doing what God has told me to tell you to do. Be doing something for the Lord. In those verses, he's clear about that. In verse 9, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you, to follow us. We need to be busy doing something. Paul says, follow my leadership and be doing something for the glory of God. As we wait on Jesus, he didn't tell us to sit down and just enjoy being saved and enjoy the blessed assurance that we have, but he says, occupy till I come. Occupy means do something, serve. Be busy for God. Witness and do what you can. Anything that you can for God, be busy until Jesus comes again. Waiting and doing. And then he says we ought to be waiting and withdrawing. Look at verses 6 and 7. And then verse 11. Verse 6, waiting and withdrawing, separating. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Paul said, be careful who you're running around with. And if they're not living for God, and they're going to pull you away from God, and they're going to pull you down by their lifestyle, their gossip, their critical spirit, and any of those things, don't run around with them. Don't have anything to do with them. Withdraw yourself from from people like that. Verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. I've noticed over the many years I've pastored, sometimes the ones who complain the most are the ones who are doing the least. The ones who complain about the finances the most are the ones who are giving the least, usually. And God says, we don't need to do that. We ought to get along together, and we ought to have unity and serve the Lord together and be looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and come out and withdraw from worldliness, withdraw from those standards, withdraw from anything that's going to hinder us from being ready whenever Jesus comes. I want to be not only saved, but I want to be right with God when Jesus returns. I really do. And I think God tells us that that ought to be the desire of our heart. So we ought to be, wait and pray. We ought to be waiting and doing something for God, rejoicing that He's coming again, waiting and withdrawing, being separated, and then waiting and rejoicing. Drop down to verse 16. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Thank God we can have peace and rejoicing. God doesn't want us to be miserable Christians. God wants us to be rejoicing Christians. You got anything to rejoice about tonight? I have a lot to rejoice about. A lot to rejoice over. And God says, as you look for the return of my Son, be a happy Christian. Have peace in your heart. If you don't have peace in your heart, something's wrong spiritually. Something is wrong spiritually if you don't have the joy of the Lord, which is part of the strength that we should have. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. As we're waiting on the Lord, serve God with joy. Be a happy Christian. Do your work with joy. Be thrilled about singing for God. Be thrilled about teaching a class for God. Be thrilled about driving those old buses for God. Be thrilled about visiting the bus route for God. Be thrilled about whatever you're doing for God. Rejoice. Be happy as we wait on the Lord. You know what? That'll do a whole lot to help our soul winning if we're happy Christians. It'll be like honey that'll attract bees, and they'll want to come. People will say, I want what they've got. They're happy Christians. Oh, they said they're waiting on the Lord. But they are waiting not like they're miserable, not like they're afraid, not like they're scared, but they're waiting on the Lord, and they're happy Christians rejoicing in God. I like to be around happy Christians, don't you? I don't like to stay and hang around too much with people who are negative and down and out and depressed and all those things. I understand there's some physical issues that could enter into that and biological things and all of that. But by and large, most of the time, if we're down, depressed, and we're having those kinds of problems, it has a lot to do with whether or not we're walking with the Lord. And we ought to be happy Christians. We ought to say to the world, I'm a happy Christian. Well, that doesn't mean we don't have any problems. And we may not always be able to put a big smile on our face when we're going through severe trials, but they ought to see the peace of God in our life and know that we have the peace of the Lord as we wait for His return. Waiting for Christ, what do? Just a few things, and you can enlarge on any of these four things and take them out a long ways. But we ought to pray, we ought to work, we ought to be separated. Do I hear an amen about that? Amen. From the world, and we ought to rejoice in the Lord. Waiting for Christ. He's coming again. Now, friend, you can't do any of those things unless you're saved. Most of you tonight, I'm sure, are saved. But if you're not, you can't rejoice in the Lord. You're not even waiting on the Lord. Until you get saved, there's no way you can pray. God won't hear your prayer. You say, well, I prayed and good things happened. You're just a product of the general grace of God. Unless you're saved, God does not honor your prayer. And we need to realize that. We need to work, and your works will all be in vain if you're not saved. But if you're saved, God's not going to let them go unnoticed. And we need to live a separated life. I don't know why an unsaved person would even care about doing that, except they might be thinking, I'm trying to work my way into heaven, therefore I don't do these things and I don't go to these places. But you better trust Christ as your Savior, because that's the only way to go to heaven. Let's stand, please. Father, as we come to you in prayer, oh God, we thank you that even here in the church tonight we've had the privilege of praying, asking for your presence, asking you to stir our hearts, asking you to speak to us. Father, help us to keep our hearts and minds on heaven. Help us to keep our hearts and minds on the reality that Jesus could come at any moment. But Lord, as we do, may we realize it's not occasion, not excuse, not reason to sit down and just not do anything. To give up and say there's no use, the Lord's coming soon. But oh God, you have fully instructed us to be busy, to pray, to witness, to serve you, to be doing something, to come out, be separated from the world. And Lord, help us to be happy Christians. If there's a Christian here tonight, Lord, who doesn't have your joy, I pray you'd prick their hearts and help them to realize they need to have the joy of the Lord back in their hearts. Help them to come and ask for it and to repent, if need be, to get it. Help that person that might be here, if there's one, even one, just one, oh God, that they might come to Christ. In his name we pray, amen.